You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, I'm Emily Hampshire, and this is The Fabulous Invalid.
Welcome to The Fabulous Invalid, Broadway's podcast, where we present essential conversations with a curated roster of the best, most important, and innovative theater makers working today, from actors to writers, directors, designers, and everyone in between. We took our name from the title of a 1938 play by Kaufman at Hart that has since become a loving nickname for Broadway itself, always deemed on the verge of decline yet always bouncing back, The Fabulous Invalid. I'm theater savant Jamie Dumont.
I'm Rob Russo, writer and theater critic with Stage Left at NYC and Stage Left the podcast.
And I'm pajama aficionado Jennifer Simard.
Hi. Pajama Hi. Aficionado. I like that.
I know. I think I said aficionado and that's incorrect. Is it aficionado?
Aficionado. Aficionado.
Aficionado. Well,
I have to tell you, I have this like one pair of like leisure pants for lounging that I have just been wearing nonstop. I did wash them once, but you know.
That's been my uniform. I wear a pair of red flannels, what is wrong with me? Red flannel plaid pajama bottoms almost
How
every
classic.
Day. It makes me feel woodsy.
Yeah.
Even though I'm in the city, it makes me feel like I'm in a cabin somewhere.
Right? There you go.
Mm-hmm. I like Love woodsy. Jamie, that sounds...
What's yours? What about you, Jamie? What are you wearing?
What are you wearing?
These days.
I'm in sweatpants. I wear a lot of sweatpants. Mm-hmm. I wear a lot of pajama bottoms. I basically wear the same exact thing I always wear when I come home. I pretty much walk in the door, even when the world is fully operational. Mm-hmm. I come home, I walk in the door. The first thing I do is change into like sweats or something casual.
I saw this comedian years ago who cracked me up with a joke, something like, you know, you go out in your real life and you're wearing your tight pants, but then you get home, everyone loses weight. Look at these sweatpants. These are loose.
Right. A lot of elastic. Well, yeah.
Jennifer, it sort of reminds me of that scene from Company where your character is putting her hands down her pants, right? Am I getting the scene right? Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. Look at these pants. You can put your fist in there. That's how much weight I've lost. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone is a size zero when they're in an elastic waistband.
That's right.
Well, truer words, truer words. Well, today we depart ever so slightly from our regular theater-related interviews, although... In a way, this does still sort of fall into that category. You undoubtedly will know our guest, Emily Hampshire, from the hit CBC comedy Schitt's Creek, where she has played Stevie Budd for 6 seasons, or the sci-fi drama 12 Monkeys, among her many other credits.
Yes, but what Jamie was referring to a moment ago is Emily's latest project, her new weekly online talk show, Hump Day with Hampshire, which live streams on Wednesdays as a fundraiser for the Actors Fund. By the time this airs, the third episode will have come out, so you can find the show on the Actors Fund website and on their YouTube channel.
And as we learned in talking with Brian Stokes Mitchell, chairman of the Actors Fund, despite its name, the fund provides a vital lifeline to all entertainment professionals, not just actors, working across the industry in film, theater, television, music, opera, radio, and dance. It's an organization very near and dear to our hearts that is needed now more than ever. You can make a donation at any time in any amount by going to actorsfund.org.
Before we chat with Emily, I thought it would be fun to catch up on what everybody's core routines are.
Ooh, I love a portmanteau, you know?
Well, I mean, I can't take credit for that, Rob.
Here for a portmanteau. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I have been catching up on some television shows that I never watch. I'm famously bad at TV. So this has given me an opportunity because I have no other excuse to catch up on some TV. And actually the last thing I did is I binged the season of Schitt's Creek that I hadn't seen in preparation for this interview. So I'm all caught up.
And Rob, as you know, I did the same thing last night,
of course.
Because I couldn't, I literally had to I watched the first couple of episodes and then it was too hard. I was like, I want to savor this. I want to watch one. Yeah. And then, you know, life happens. But I figured if we're going to talk to Stevie Budd herself, I should know what happens this season.
Yeah,
and boy,
sure.
I mean, I was a sobbing, weeping mess.
I teared up. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie.
Yeah. I didn't tear up. I sobbed.
You wept.
I ugly cried.
Well, I think we're all feeling very vulnerable these days, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Not far from true. From some tears.
I think my routine is pretty close to what most people are doing these days. But the saving grace, the number one thing for me, is my spin bike that I have in my bedroom. And I try to use it every day. Maybe I'll skip one or two days, but psychologically, even more than physically, what it does for me is hard to describe. Before this pandemic even happened, psychologically, it's like therapy for me getting on that bike.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's yoga. I've been doing yoga classes on my studio has now an online platform, so you can do a class virtually, which, you know, I was nervous to do because I'm so used to doing yoga in a class, and like community is a whole part of it. Same thing for me with yoga. Like, it's just such a centering and calming, and, I'm just naturally a very anxious person. So being able to continue doing that in my quarantine as part of my quarantine has been really, really, really helpful.
Well, fuck both of you. All I'm doing is eating M&Ms.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't snacking incessantly as well.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I did buy an inordinate amount of wine. Let's be honest. That's what I did. Yeah.
And, good. All right. I feel a little bit better. Rob does know that I did buy a yoga mat because I thought, well, I've been talking about trying yoga for a while, and I've done a few yoga classes. I can do a little bit of it. I'm not a total novice. So I bought a yoga mat, and of course I sent the link to Rob, and I was like, is this a good one? And Rob naturally wrote back, yes, it's the one, exact one I have. So,
right. Yeah.
So we'll see. It's waiting for me downstairs. I have to, it's in its own quarantine, right?
That's right.
It'll come up to me probably tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been fun. I feel like shit. But I will stretch or something today. But I think we should probably get to our interview with Emily, which, in full disclosure, we did already record with her, and there was a slight technical glitch. As we said earlier, these things are not, it's not a perfect science. And so there's a moment at the end of the interview where Jennifer and I, our mics go out, and Rob finishes the interview with Emily. So funnily enough, we asked Emily to stay on the line while we uploaded the files, and then the program got back and we all got to say goodbye to her, but we just didn't record it. All right, let's get to our interview with Emily. Emily, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, for sure.
We know that you're hosting a new live stream talk show for the Actors Fund called Hump Day with Hampshire. We've all seen it. It's brilliant. Tell us how this all came about.
Well, it actually just came to me through my agent and publicist. They were telling me that the Actors Fund was doing stuff to raise money. And if I'm being very honest, at first I was like, the Actors Fund. I mean, there's more important things to raise money for than actors right now. And then I learned that the Actors Fund is not just for actors. It's for everyone in the entertainment industry, like from, you know, writers to technicians to drag queens, like everyone. And that's what made me be like, oh my God, yes, that is everyone we work with who has lost their job and work paycheck to paycheck. So then they were like, what could we do to raise money? And somebody somewhere suggested a talk show. And I believe my publicist sent me a message being like, or a message that I was CC'd on, saying to my manager, I think this would be really good to keep Emily busy. She needs to keep busy during these times. So they decided to do the most involved thing, which I didn't realize. It's really made me, like, all these interviews that I've been doing for press for other things, it has made me so have, like, such empathy for people who do the interviews on the other side of the desk, because it's hard. It's a lot of work when you want to, like, I want to know everything about my guest and ask them questions that they haven't been asked before. And, like, all these things, it's really been an eye opener to be on this side.
And you have production values. I mean, you've got some tricks and stuff.
right? Real production value. What I died about was that, like, I didn't think this was going to be a serious thing when they said talk show. Like, I thought they were just using that term as like, maybe I'll go on Instagram Live and Instagram Live with a friend. And then they send me my theme song that they wrote with my Bitmoji. And I died. Like, I don't know if you follow me at all, anyone who knows me or follows me on Instagram, I am obsessed with my Bitmoji. Like, that's, if you're my friend, that's how we communicate. And if you don't have a Bitmoji, then we're just not going to talk much.
So watch Hump Day with Hampshire. Have some fun before we retire. Take a little break from the quagmire. It's Hump Day with Hampshire.
It's really been like such a, like, I never thought about doing a talk show. That's never like ever entered my brain. But the minute it did, I was like, yeah, why hasn't it? It's the greatest thing ever. Like, I love interviewing people I don't know or do know and playing games and stuff. And like my first episode, I wanted to have friends of mine on because I was nervous. And I just ended up like my friends who I love, like Annie Murphy, who's on Schitt's Creek, and Adam Rippon, who's a figure skater, but also one of the funniest guys you've ever met.
Yes.
And Bobby Burke, who's on Queer Eye, and Sophia Bush, who is, everyone, people know she's an actress, but she's also a genius. So having these people on, at the end, I was like, I thought I could not love these people more, but after that, I just fell in love with everybody because they were so generous and fun. And yeah, I really like it. I like spending all week researching stuff and coming up with ideas to like play games and stuff, because I want it to be in addition to raising money. I think, you know, it's a hard time to ask people to give anything right now. I know it's really hard. Most people don't have anything to give. And, you know, it's whatever you can give, but also like, if you can't, that's okay. You can just like spend some time with me and my friends and get maybe some entertainment while you're stir crazy in your apartment. And that makes me really happy.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You're such a natural, which I think you're discovering as you're doing this. Did you look to any other talk show hosts as inspiration when you were sort of getting into the mindset of taking on this new role?
Well, I did, in terms of, this was kind of pitched to me as like Rosie O'Donnell did her thing. She brought back her show for the Actors Fund for the same charity. And she had done hers the Sunday before I was doing mine. And so I did, I watched that. And then I remember, like, I used to love the Rosie O'Donnell show. I would like every day come home from school and watch that. So I actually tried to find the first ever Rosie O'Donnell show, because I wanted to know, like, how did she introduce a new show to people? Because I really wanted it to be like a, I don't know, if I get into something, I get real, real into it. And I wanted it to be like a real talk show, like how they intro it and everything. I, of course, didn't end up doing it. Like, I had lofty aspirations. I think I hit straight in the middle. But you know, there's room for improvement, but I did go and look. I couldn't find her opening of the original one, but I watched a bunch of those, and I watched just like some daytime talk, like Ellen I watched, and I was like, oh, I'm never going to be as good as these people. So, but it was inspiring.
Sure. Now, you mentioned you had some friends on you, Anne, Adam, Bobby, Sophia, and I'm wondering, other than me, Jennifer, do you have any other dream guests that you would like, or who's your absolute, who's like your number one person? You're like, I really have to get blah, blah, blah on the show.
Oh my gosh. Well, so I have two number one people, and their names have been, like, every day I'm like, so, have you heard back from Michelle Obama? Have you heard back from her? Because she's a fan of Schitt's, you know? She's a big fan of Schitt's Creek. So That's my number one. Well, it's equally number one with Dolly Parton. I love these. So I've been obsessed with Dolly Parton for, like, her and Loretta Lynn I've been obsessed with forever. And what's crazy is that I wrote this list of – when they were talking about guests, I wrote this list of dream guests. And also, like, it started with dream guests that are my friends and I know and I can reach out to, who are equally dream guests, because, like, that's a joy to do, especially when you can't actually see your friends. And then my other list of dream guests was people like, one, Dolly Parton. And I made this list, and then I sent it to... what's crazy is that I was talking to Chester, who runs kind of the Actors Fund, or at least what we're doing here, and he just brought up, he's like, yeah, you know, I used to work for Dolly Parton, so with Dolly Parton at Dollywood, so I was thinking of maybe getting her on, and I'm like, wait, did you read my list? Did you read my list? Because I just sent it, and he hadn't even read my list, so I feel like that's a sign. Basically, I'm looking at that as a sign that he worked at Dollywood, and I want Dolly Parton on my show.
Here you come again, looking better than a body has a right to, and shaking me up so that all I really know is here you come again.
We actually did a whole episode about the Actors Fund, and we talked about the Rosie revival and what Seth and James are doing with Stars in the House and all these great initiatives that are being launched to raise money. I'm wondering, we've asked some folks this before, but do you have a personal experience with the Actors Fund that you can share, or perhaps a story of a colleague who's been helped out directly?
You know, it's really funny. I feel like I can share this because it was the Actors Fund in Canada. Maybe I don't know if it's the same thing, but this might be a story you want to cut out, but I'm going to tell it to you. I actually was, so right before Schitt's Creek, my life, my pre-Schitt's life was such shit. And Schitt's spelled S-C-H-I-T-T. So correct, no correct, worries correct. About that. I had just gotten divorced. I hadn't worked in a year. I was about to move into my friend's closet, like literally, but I mean, it was a walk-in closet, so it's not that bad. And I had this rent to pay and stuff. And I was like, the worst I've ever been in my life. And I wrote this letter to the Actors Fund, and I submitted, and I did all this paperwork and everything. And it was humiliating. I mean, it wasn't humiliating. It was just like, you really, what's good is that they do make sure the people who need it the most get it. At least this is in Canada. Wrote this letter. And anyways, I was rejected. but to be fair, I was rejected. They said, because I had RSPs and I didn't want to cash in my RSPs because I thought that was, you know, my mom always said, that's a very, never do that. You're going to need it when you're old. So anyways, that's my, but I can tell a better story.
Well, I have a question for you about a story. Yeah. Here's a story. I like how when you were interviewing Annie Murphy, I think I called her Anne before. My apologies. Yeah. I abbreviate people's names. That's what I do. Yeah, so yeah. M in that. when you were interviewing her and the fan art came up on the screen, slightly blocking you, you knew how to find the camera And it reminded me of that saying, always find your light. So speaking of that, what's next for you? What's next for you once we're all able to return to our normal lives?
Oh my God, that's funny. Well, I actually, I have this episode, I did this anthology series called 50 Stages of Fright for Quibi, which actually launches today. And it's Sam Raimi produced this horror anthology. And so that's coming out on Quibi, April 13th. And then I'm doing my own show, which I'm not allowed to say more about it than that. But ooh, it's the most exciting thing I've ever, I've ever done. I feel like I watched Dan, you know, create shits, and I learned so much. And I just love all the stuff he kind of stood for in terms of making Schitt's Creek, like, from the beginning, a place where there will be no homophobia, and the town will never be a butt of the joke, and all those kinds of things. I was like, I want to do something like that of my own. And so there's something in the works like that, and I cannot wait till I can talk about it.
Awesome.
Well, we are very excited about that, and we will look forward to hearing more about that. But I want to just go back to Hump Day with Hampshire for one quick second. And I'd like to, if I may, turn the tables on you a little bit and put 30 seconds on the clock.
Whoa.
And see if we can get the lightning round of quarantine stats out of you, which you've done with your guests, but I'd like to do it with you. So I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock starting now.
Okay.
And how many rolls of toilet paper do you have?
Two. I'm scared.
You're running low. Who was the last person you touched?
Oh my God. I think it might have been Dan Levy.
That's a good person to touch.
That's a flex.
What was the last outside meal you had?
It was California Pizza Kitchen, because I'm obsessed with it. I eat there every day. And I had a tomato bisque, and I had a Moscow mule. And I know it's a weird combination. Don't judge.
Wait, you went to California Pizza Kitchen and you didn't have a pizza?
No, you know what's weird? I have never had a pizza at California Pizza Kitchen.
Oh, wow.
I eat the same thing. I get the tomato bisque. And when I'm feeling crazy, I get the chicken piccata. And those are the things I've eaten there. And I love it so much. I'm a creature of habit.
Wow. All right. Well, the 30 seconds is long run out. So, but you did very well. We didn't ask the last question, which is, what's the longest you've gone without showering? But you don't have to answer that if you don't want to.
You know what? You don't want me to answer that. That's the real answer. Okay.
Are you wearing pants?
You know what? I'm not. I'm actually not. I'm like, it's on camera. So you know what's weird? I probably would have put on pants if I thought it was if I thought it was a podcast, which makes no sense.
But you're in full beat. But you're wearing makeup. You're wearing makeup, no pants, and you smell. We've got it. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You've
got it. That is a complete picture.
Amazing,
yes.
Amazing. Well, since we're playing games, this is a Broadway podcast. So if you're down, we'd like to ask you a couple Broadway trivia questions.
Oh my God. Okay. So I'm obsessed with musicals, except I don't want to actually start like that, because I'm not so good with the new musical. But anyways, okay. Yes. Ask me.
Okay. 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 So here's our first question. What is the longest running Broadway show?
Les Mis. No. Yes. Les Mis. No.
Okay, want Phantom? To try again? Yes.
Phantom?
Yes, there you
yes,
go.
Yes, okay, that's what I was going to switch it to. Okay.
My hint was going to be that the lead character was way ahead of the curve because he wears a mask.
Oh, that's funny. You know? Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. We weren't sure what your knowledge would be, so we built in some hints so that we could help you along.
So I became an actor because I saw Les Mis and I wanted to be Eponine, and that's why I became an actor.
It's your world's most popular musical, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We have another question for you.
Yeah.
And this one hits a little closer to home. What hit musical currently running on Broadway takes place in a little Canadian town called Gander?
Oh my God. Oh, I feel like it's a Gander.
Do you want a hint?
Yes, please.
It's based on a true story about Canadian hospitality after 9/11.
Welcome to the park, welcome to the trees, to the ocean and the sky, and whatever's in between, to the
ones who've left, you're never truly gone. A candle's in the window and the kettle's always on. When the sun is coming up and the world is coming short, if you're hoping for a harbor, then you'll find an open door. In the winter from the water, through whatever's in the way, to the ones who have come from the way. Welcome to the rock!
Oh my God. I don't think I know about this because well, if I did, I would really know about it.
Right. Well, I believe it was out on tour and hopefully the tour will resume, but it's called Come From Away.
Oh my God. Okay. This is good. Cause I haven't heard of that. I'm glad I do know about it now. Cause now I'm going to make a point of seeing it with a mask and gloves.
We're gonna give you a chance to make your money back. Here you go. Okay. It's time for Name That Broadway Actor. So sticking with a theme, he's a fellow Canadian who won a Tony Award for Little Me and who also starred in the musical of The Goodbye Girl with Ms. Bernadette Peters. And here's a hint. He's not especially tall.
Martin Short.
There you go.
Yes.
All right.
Oh my God. Well, I want to go to a, you know what? This has just made me kind of sad though, in a way, because something I'm embarrassed to say or feel guilty about is that I do thrive a bit in quarantine. Like, I don't want this to be happening in the world, but I am definitely been practicing for this all my life. I like being alone, all that stuff. But what I just missed so much is going to see a musical. Like, that is everything to me. Anyone who's ever gotten me the greatest birthday present or Christmas present, it's been a musical. It's been Hamilton. It's been, I feel like I leave the earth when I'm in there. So that's really sad that that's not going to happen for a bit.
Well, when we're back, you have to see Come From Away. I think you're going to love it.
I will. And then I'll call in and I'll give you my review.
Yes, please do. We will look forward to that because, you know, the thing is Broadway will be back and it is also the name of our podcast is called The Fabulous Invalid. And that really means it references the notion that Broadway is always on the verge of decline, yet always bouncing back. And Broadway will bounce back. It will be thriving. And you will get a chance to see not only Come From Away, but probably another revival of Les Mis. But Emily, we cannot have you on this show and not talk quickly about Schitt's Creek. We are taping this episode a few days before the series finale. I actually have to be very honest with you. I watched the first couple of episodes of the sixth season, the final season, back in February. And then I had to turn it off because I couldn't do it. And I binged the other 10 episodes or 9 episodes last night because I knew you were coming on the show. I was a sobbing, weeping mess.
Yeah. Well, every time somebody says that, like, I understand fans are like, I can't do it. I can't take this. And I'm like, this will make you feel better. It's harder on me. I lost a job. I lost my friends. I lost my imaginary friends, character friends. So yeah, it's, but you know what? I can tell you that because this last episode was in two parts and I think we all remember the read through for both these scripts. And the first one, which aired last week, we were all like, I mean, if Corona was going on then, we would have to all be quarantined because the amount of like snot and gross crying going on was not okay. But I do think I can say that it makes up for that in the last episode. It is perfect. It's perfect. Aww. And anything that I've been sad about Dan ending the show is repaired with this because he did the right thing. Now that we know how it ends, he ended it right for everyone. It's so special.
So forget toilet paper. How many tissue boxes does everyone have? Jamie, are you all stocked up? You good?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but you can't use tissue. When I say I have two rolls of toilet paper, I am saving my tissue for when that runs out. So we have to be really environmentally friendly now. And I'm using towels. Yeah. I don't have a handkerchief. Who has a handkerchief?
There you go.
So, yeah.
Well, going back in time a little to 2015, as you shared earlier, you were, you know, on the verge of moving into a closet. But how did you end up getting cast in this series? Did you know Eugene and Dan Levy before?
I didn't. I knew of Eugene, and I think I knew that Dan was on like some MTV thing. I actually knew Catherine before. We'd done a movie together a few years before, but no, it was really just, it was an audition, and it was an audition that my Canadian agent forced me to go into, because at that time, the reason why I hadn't worked in a while was I'd moved to LA from Canada, and in Canada at the time, I've been an actor since I was like 12, and I knew all the casting directors, and I would work with my friends or get offered things. And then I came out to LA, and it's starting over. And so I would go into these auditions that are very different from what we have in Canada. Like, even our union makes, like, you have to have a reader and there has to be a camera. And it was just a totally different experience. And I just started to break out in full body hives. So I was like, I can't go into auditions anymore. I'll put myself on tape. And of course, my American agent dropped me, which is fair. I do not blame him. But then my Canadian agent, of course, didn't, because she's Canadian and she's nice. but then she was like, should this audition for Schitt's came in? And I'm like, I'll put myself on tape. And she's like, no, go in. They're Canadian. They're nice. And she like really pushed me to go in. And I went in, and I have I had no recollection of my audition, but Dan at our live shows likes to recount it. So you'll have to go to our live show to hear that horrible story. But it was an audition. I just went in and auditioned.
Wow. Well, I'm really glad that you did, because
me too.
You know, we've all fallen in love with every single character on that show. It's been such a treat to follow the whole journey, and I have my tissue box set aside, but I can't wait for the final episode.
And after six seasons, do you have a favorite moment or memory of working on the show, if you had to pick one?
It's very easy for me, which would seem weird because the show, there's so many moments, but Cabaret was not only like such a great moment for Steve. It was like a dream come true for me that, like, if I think it's even in press, when I was asked what my dream role was like 10 years ago, it was always Sally Bowles in Cabaret. And I never in a million years thought Stevie would be Sally Bowles in Cabaret. And so it was just one of those things that made it even better, because, you know, like, and you guys know this, like, maybe this time is a song that Sally sings, like, maybe this time I'll get a man, maybe this time he'll love me. And for Stevie, it's maybe this time I'll win, maybe this time I'll be as great as everyone around me thinks I am. And it's so empowering, and it's so I just feel like she changes in that moment.
We'll end with the same question that we always ask every guest that we have. And that is...
I do that too on my show. I'm sorry. It's just because I was thinking of how do I get off with someone? Because that's a real hard thing. And I'm like, I'm going to do one of those things. Like, so my last question, which tips you off to goodbye. Okay, sorry.
Right? Well, I think you've already answered it. But the question is, what was that show or thing that made you want to become an actor?
Oh, yeah, it was Les Mis. I saw when I was in grade 6, and I didn't want to go to it because my Coronado was having a pool party, and I wanted to go to that, and my mom took me to see Les Mis, and I felt like I left the earth, and I wanted to be Eponine, and from that day on, all I did was work on being an actor.
Amazing. Well, I'm so grateful that you did, and that that you've been a part of the Schitt's Creek, which is so incredible, and now starting this new talk show, Hump Day with Hampshire, which everyone should tune into Wednesdays on. Is it on the actorsfund.org?
Yeah, it's on the Actors Fund YouTube page.
YouTube
but,
channel.
I mean,
okay,
I think
perfect.
You can get, but on the actorsfund.org/humpday, you can donate and donate whatever you can. Even like $2 helps. So,
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
And tell your
awesome.
People, all your fans to watch because I feel like it's really supporting their community. So, yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
That's it.
Thanks so much.
I love him.
That's our show. Thanks for listening. At this difficult time, please consider making a donation to the Actors Fund at actorsfund.org. The Fabulous Invalid is a production of O&M Etc. and The Fabulous Invalid LLC and a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. Our theme music is by Lucky Chops. Today's episode was edited and engineered by Aaron Kaufman. Find us online at thefabulousinvalid.com and on social media at Fabulous Invalid and on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you find your podcast. And be well and stay safe.
I love him. I love him. I love him. But only on my own.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.